would you like to discover how to do passive property investing and master the process of doing so? We have Patrick Grimes, who will tell us how to do this, and he's the founder and CEO of Passive Investing Mastery, an Amazon best-selling author and a Forbes Council contributor, and a serial entrepreneur specializing in alternative investments. And his portfolio is diversified across energy, litigation, finance, commercial lending and acquisitions, including retail, industrial, and thousands of apartment units. And he has developed a range of diversified passive investments focused on growth and cash flow, including the Diversified Litigation Portfolio, Acquisitions Fund, and Income Fund, all designed to thrive during economic downturns. So, Patrick, tell us about Passive Investing Mastery. How does someone do that?
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Well, so probably like many of your listeners, I was out there a hardworking professional, and you know, I had no idea what passive investing was other than just putting funds in my 401k account when I was starting out, right? Nobody ever taught me that that actually is a form of passive investing, and that is all hedged in the stock market, sentiment-driven cycles, somewhat volatile, and that there are other ways to do similar investment strategies that but have different market fundamentals, and you can passively invest in real estate, you can passively invest in the medical industry, in the legal industry, and other industries like the energy sector, ones that where each of them don't rise and fall together. And when you reach mastery, it's really building that ability to have so many allocations that you have true financial security in your portfolio and not riding the volatile wave of any one type of market.
Thank you. Tell us your 10 commandments for someone to start this type of passive investing.
I'm sorry, the question was what?
What are your 10 commandments for someone to start doing passive investing?
We don't have 10 commandments, but I can start saying some things that, well, I think what happens traditionally is everybody starts passive investing. They just don't know it because, you know, they're usually first thing you do is you get an employer that's maybe contributing to their 401k account. And now, boom, you're a passive investor because you don't make any decisions. Typically, in that case, even about the allocations and what is available, and you're not making any decisions about the companies either. But what happens is people will graduate maybe to talk to their custodian or maybe even a financial planner or advisor, and then they'll say, oh, we'll get a Roth IRA then. Well, unfortunately, those tend to put you right back into the same types of asset classes that are all riding the same wave. And it isn't until I think people start realizing that you know they can self-direct those retirement accounts elsewhere, that they even know that there's another world out there. There's really multiple traps that you know passive investors get into that I got into. You know, I was an engineer, and you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to do real estate. I got into the DIY trap. I'm just going to do it all myself, and I lost it all right through a downturn. Then I found a guru, and I was like, hey, I'm going to follow this guru. And then I got in the guru trap where then I guess I was successful, but I got lost all my life, all my time for my family, friends, and hobbies, trying to be active. And so that wasn't a win. But I was also following a guru down one asset class, meaning I was active and I was focused and highly concentrated. You know, again, risky. So when you move on past kind of the DIY and the guru trap, it really leaves you with this concept of non-correlated alternatives and learning how to be passive and partner with people who can know these different industries and can help you build, you know, true resilience in your portfolio.
Thank you. Tell us how someone would start doing passive investing. What kind of asset class would someone invest in? What's your first suggestion?
Well, it's different for everybody, and that's why I put a calendar link on my website so I can have a conversation with each person where they're at. And we really have like three rings of the Venn diagram on our kind of in our strategy. One is non-correlation, which means whatever your portfolio is now, you want to invest into something that has different market fundamentals than whatever that is. Some people are all in the stock market, some people all in real estate, some people all in crypto, believe it or not. So there's a bunch of different come froms. So first you got to find, you know, where you're at. I guess second, recession resilience is the other ring of that Venn diagram where we want to find industries that don't necessarily care about the market fundamentals of others. And that's why you see us heavy in our company and in healthcare. You see us heavy in legal and in real estate. We've done some energy and things that don't really correlate with the broader volatility of the markets. And so, you know, those are the ones that people want to step into. It's the first step to being a passive investor is getting out there and getting aware. Like I was, when I was a mechanical engineer doing automation and robotics, I knew about startups, I knew about stocks, and I knew about crypto. I didn't have any idea that there was anything else out there. But so I built, you know, now we have a platform, Passive Investing Mastery, and we educate every other week on all kinds of different alternatives. So join groups like ours or others that are agnostic, that help to share, just kind of pull back the veil of all the ways the private equity firms and the hedge funds and the sovereign funds are investing in these lesser known novel asset classes that have more non-correlation and resilience in your portfolio. And so that's what we do. And I mean, you'll learn about all kinds of stuff. Gold mining, you'll learn about Forex, you'll learn about timberland investing or cannabis investing or, you know, investing in bourbon barrel casks and pilot education and all kinds of real estate too. You know, that kind of exposure is what starts to peel back that veil.
Thank you. Tell us some property passive investing that some of your clients have done or you have done successfully. And tell us how this went, like with your help. Has it worked out?
Yeah. So right now is a very interesting time in commercial real estate because, you know, prices are severely depressed and interest rates are really high. So in commercial real estate, you could really win in two ways. You can win from investing in and being an owner because you can buy prices at struggling assets that had a tough time through rising interest rates, rising inflation. Perhaps they got bridged short-term debt that's coming due. They maybe struggled through COVID and the eviction backlogs and drained their operating reserves. And I'm not immune to that too. You know, I've struggled as well. But there's a lot of opportunities to buy low right now in commercial real estate. And so we have in our acquisition, commercial acquisitions fund is a very strong player in that space. And we're bagging some great returns right now. It's pretty crazy. I mean, like we couldn't do it for the last 10, 15 years, what we're doing now, which is pretty exciting. So you can buy real estate, specifically small balance commercial real estate, great. Or you can lend into real estate right now. And, you know, assets that used to, in a first position debt, used to only be able to get 5, 6, 7, 8% on those loans as a lender in a highly secured position. But now you're getting our platform that lends to small balance commercial real estate, we're getting 12, 13, 14. I mean, incredible rates at below a 60, 65% loan to value. And that's current value, not previous to the downturn. So you can lend high. You can lend it at high interest rates and low loan to values and grab some great returns. And, you know, in that strategy, man, our income fund and commercial real estate lending is doing mid-teens in returns to the investors. And quite honestly, that was what a lot of operators were projecting on the equity side as potential upside if they take a high-risk ownership position where the market volatility directly affects your return. Whereas on the debt side, we have 30, 40% of cushion between the property value, market volatility, and our returns. So those are two really strong ways right now that somebody can participate and really take advantage of kind of this, the upside of this downturn in commercial real estate.
Thank you. How does this kind of opportunity to invest in property, how does it differ versus other property investing strategies in terms of return?
Well, so we do three private credit. We have one equity, which is buying commercial real estate, and then we have three private credit focused strategies. And again, they fit this. They're non-correlated to each other. They're both recession resilient. And there's the third ring, is which we didn't talk about later. We can talk about later, but it's insulation from AI disruption. And so if you look at private credit strategies, that just means it's not an institution like a bank that is providing capital. It's a private company like us that's providing capital and providing a form of credit. And we do that for real estate operators that need a loan to buy real estate property. Maybe they need a loan to acquire it, or a loan to acquire it and do improvements to it. We also do that in the legal industry. There are operators in the legal industry. They're attorneys. And there's a bunch of attorneys out there that need capital. Some of them are working hour for hour and getting paid hour for hour. But there's a lot of them that are working on a contingency fee basis, meaning they're helping to give access to justice for those that otherwise couldn't afford it by deferring their payment to settlement until the judgment or settlement happens. And so, you know, we collateralize attorneys, their offices, their docket, their list of assets, their client contracts, contingency fee agreements, and we'll lend in a form of lending or an investment to attorneys in the same way so that they can acquire more claimants or the operating expenses to get to settlement, a very investment amount to collateral value. And that helps them and it helps us, and we get returns that don't rise and fall with real estate. And in the same way in the medical industry, there are medical practices out there where they give care because they have contracts with the insurance companies. And when a patient shows up and they take that insurance, they're required to give the care right then. Happens to be that there's a huge gap between them getting paid. It's a problem in our healthcare industry. So a lot of healthy practices, otherwise healthy businesses, run by great doctors with a great track record of doing care, of providing care, and then getting reimbursed, are sitting on these accounts receivables for 60, 90, 2 years sometimes. And we can help fund the gap. We can provide short-term liquidity in form of private credit. And medical industry, like the legal industry, is usually just up and to the right. And if these are strong medical operators with a great track record, we can provide an investment, collateralize their receivables with, again, a lien, just like in real estate and legal. And we can get preferred position on the payouts plus a financing spread, and we can provide a great return to our investors while allowing medical practices to float operating expenses as well as invest in new people, equipment, facilities. So all of them are just private credit strategies that are fairly similar, and all the mechanics is fairly similar, just in completely non-correlated industries. And the underlying investors get an opportunity to realize great returns that actually build stability and security in their portfolio. Opposed to being all in one industry that could potentially go on a down cycle and lose it all. I've been there and done that. Didn't like it.
Thank you. How does an investor choose from all of these diversified potential investments that you offer, for example? Is it that you kind of say, okay, let me see what your goals are. Let me see how much you have to invest. And we have this, you know, you give them like 10 different potentials. Or you first kind of like go, okay, what are you interested in to invest? Let's say they're already doing property investing. Do you offer them your property investing options because that's something they understand? Or you would say, okay, because you're already doing property investing, maybe you want to consider, this litigation finance or energy or something else that you're not doing that is kind of like a good option for you? Or how would you help guide a potential investor into choosing the right investment arm for them?
I don't give investment advice. I am traditionally educated as an engineer. I have a master's in engineering and an MBA. And I, like many of everybody out there, I started out having no idea that there were all these alternatives. And I made my way through development, lost it all in 2009, single family, did really well, but then traded your apartments and then scaled from there. And through the course of all of that, I figured out a way to diversify. And so I've learned a lot. Now, while I can't give advice, I can talk about all the things that I learned with individuals. And I don't think the key is to just invest in one thing or invest in two things. I think the key to building true financial security is to be diversified across non-correlated investments. That means getting a dozen allocations strategies. I mean, it's just taken, you know, a strategy out of the private equity funds, a strategy out of the sovereign funds, the ones that know how to build wealth that's sustainable and outlasts broader market volatility. I think they should figure out how to allocate in a dozen of these types of asset classes. And each time I've done that, felt a lot more confident, slept a little better, didn't worry so much about the news and inflation or interest rates, helped me build a more relaxed lifestyle.
Thank you. What measures have you put in order to reduce risk in these kind of investments that you are, I'm not sure if to call it advising, but you are offering to your clients?
Sure. So in all the private credit offerings, whether it's we're lending to real estate operators or investing in attorneys or in medical practices or providers, we always look towards the operators themselves. You know, you do a lot of due diligence on the individuals and the companies, whether it's real estate operator, it's attorney or a medical provider. You can take a look at their ability to execute, whether that's buying and improving properties or the strength of their docket of client of cases and the success that they've had, or whether it's a practice and their ability to collect on receivables and the care that they've provided and the timeline at which they did before. So you can get pretty clear on the operator and the health of the business. And then you want to build really strong financing agreements which give you preferred position, that have recourse guarantees, prevent you from fraud cases, and you want to make sure that you get a lien. Of course, in real estate, we have a deed of trust, right? But in legal and the medical industries, you have UCC-1 filings where you can actually put a securities agreement together and carve out your collateral and then file a UCC-1, putting the world on notice that you have a first position on the assets, the underlying assets in your financing agreement. So they're not going to go double dipping and pledging the same assets. And then you want to be really careful about the valuation of that collateral. And in each industry, it's a little bit different, but fundamentally the same in that you do a review. You can do an appraisal of a property. You could do a law firm docket review, and you can underwrite the revenue life cycle of a practice, and you can figure out the estimate collateral value, and then you want to lend on a small percentage of that. You know, and real estate, it can often be some places will lend 80-90%. In our fund, we're at 60 or 65 or below. And legal, we're typically around that 20 or 30%. So it's actually really interesting because you can get much higher returns at a lower investment amount to collateral value. So you have a lot of cushion. And it ranges a lot in medical receivables because you can imagine there are the Walmarts that are very strong, and then there are the JCPenney's of practices. And so you want to make sure that you go for practices that are much more on the Walmart side, the ones that are stronger, and you can choose lower returns for more stability. And so, you know, typically we're at for 40, 50%, maybe 60, 70 in some cases, investment amount to the value of the collateral. And I think those are probably the high points, but again, it's the same kind of risk prevention strategies just applied to different industries that we selected because of their recession resilience and independent stability.
Thank you. Can you share some successful case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with who have successfully managed to get the return on their investments with your help?
Yeah, I mean, we've been in our income fund, we've been bagging, I think it's just above a 14% monthly annualized distribution. So monthly distributions, that's pretty incredible since inception. That's pretty amazing for commercial debt and the secured position that we're at. So that's pretty exciting. And our litigation fund, you know, we just allocated to really cool cases. Like we helped advance funds to an attorney that's supporting Camp Lejeune. These are our military civilians and their families who were harmed by contaminated water at Camp Lejeune, a Marine base. And, you know, they're now in the process of getting significant settlements. And we also contributed towards an attorney helping provide access to justice for sexual assault victims that were harmed through the LA Juvenile Detention Center. And that was terrible, horrific situation where over decades, the LA County did not care for the individuals that were in the juvenile detention center, our children, right? And I'm from California. I mean, I live in Honolulu now, but shoot, that's crazy. Well, LA County just settled for $4 billion last year, and now we're looking at the investor return to our fund being 4 or 5x what we actually put into it. Even though we're taking, you know, between 30, 40, 50% of the settlement, and that is our split with the attorney. And we're providing hundreds of thousands of dollars to the harmed in the process. There can be incredible returns out there while doing some good.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Passive Investing Mastery. Passive Investing Mastery. And at the top, you're going to see we do, in fact, offer investments, and we show them up there. Commercial acquisitions and commercial debt lending, and as well as litigation, finance, and medical receivables. But below that, I highly recommend you take a look at our Alternative Investing Mastery series. And that series is quite phenomenal in that it's my blue ocean approach at just getting every different kind of alternative strategy out there. And we're not involved in all those industries, but we've done over 50 different sessions now. We have one coming up on hospitality next. Which is exciting. We just did one on cannabis, and we've done them on just about every industry and type of investment that we've found, as well as strategies like asset protection, estate planning, retirement account, tax efficiency, all kinds of things that you need to be not only successful at diversifying, but also successful at building a secure, efficient portfolio that'll last your life and beyond. And so highly recommend, you know, we're pulling the veil back and just showing every way you can invest and having people on that have been doing it for decades through our Alternative Investing Mastery series. And I highly recommend everybody take a second, log into there, get on the list, because every week or so, you're going to learn about something new from people that have been doing it for a long time. And as you learn more and more, you'll get more comfortable, you'll see more patterns, it'll start making more sense, and you'll start, just like I did, taking small steps into the space, and you'll start realizing more financial security in the process.
Okay, so did you have any last word for our listeners?
Well, thanks so much, Lily, for having me. I appreciate it. It's really great that you're doing this, because, you know, it's so needed out there, people to be able to just get exposure to different kinds of ways to invest. And you don't know unless you actually go look for it, because your financial planner's not going to tell you about it, that's for sure. So if anybody's out there thinking, hey, this kind of resonates with me, I wish I could add a slice of the pie in a kind of a non-correlated alt that, you know, doesn't rise and fall with everything else, let me know, set up a call, go to our website. I also give away a copy of my book if you go to passiveinvestingmastery.com/book. Happy to ship a copy of that, signed copy out to anybody who's interested. Just make sure you put Lily's name inside the promo code, because if you don't put anything, we don't know where you came from. We don't send them out. You can also download the ebook if you don't want a hard copy.
Thank you so much.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.